Cannabis extracts like the ones being debated in this case are widely available at medical marijuana dispensaries around the state and country, along with countless strains of the drug in various forms, from vape pens to chocolate bars to the traditional dried-out plant.
But if you're a scientist who wants to study medical marijuana, it's a different story. There's just one facility at the University of Mississippi that's authorized by the federal government to grow marijuana for medical research, and that has some proponents of legalization concerned.
And for more on this, we're joined now by our co-host Lauren Gilger, who's been covering this. Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning, Steve.
So medical marijuana now legal in 33 states across the country.
Right, and others have decriminalized it, essentially, and of course some allow it to be used recreationally.
Right, so are we seeing this bigger and bigger lag between where medical marijuana research is and what its real-world uses are?
Yes, essentially. And this is largely because marijuana is classified as a Schedule I drug by the federal government. That puts it alongside drugs like heroin, LSD, and ecstasy. And I spoke with one doctor who says that is having real-world consequences. Dr. Fred Davis is a board-certified pain medicine physician. He's also a member of the group Doctors for Cannabis Regulation. And he says until it's reclassified by the federal government, medical research won't be able to keep up with the drug's real-world use. I reached him via Skype.
That's one of the things that we've seen as we are moving rapidly towards more acceptance of the use of cannabis and exploring the potential benefits. We're seeing the limitations that we have, ranging from the fact that it is very difficult to obtain cannabis from the government to use for experiments. It is very complicated to get grant money because the drug is scheduled as a Class 1 drug, which puts it in the same category as heroin and methamphetamine. Mm-hmm. Now, for example, that means that there is really no acceptable medical use for these drugs. Just to put it in perspective, I'm able to prescribe cocaine to somebody because that's a Class 2 drug, and just like morphine and other narcotics. So those drugs I can prescribe. However, I cannot prescribe cannabis, which really makes no sense at this point.
Yeah. You can get funding to do some research medically on marijuana, right?
Yeah. There are a number of problems because in general, the amount of government money available for all research is trending downward. So within that context, in particular, it's difficult to get research approved for cannabis. And one of the things that we see in all of the literature, as we get studies done and as we see applications used, there's always a comment saying more research is needed. And what we really need to do is to change the regulatory environment so that the research for cannabis is more readily done and more easily undertaken.
One of the other issues that comes up when you're talking about the medical research here, right, is the types of cannabis you can even get medically to research. So, like, if you go to a dispensary and you can see there are, you know, how many different strains of marijuana available to you, and that's not necessarily the case for researchers, right?
That's exactly right. In the real world of cannabis use in the states where it has been legalized for medical use or in states where legalized adult use is in place, you can obtain many types of cannabis preparations. And these preparations offer physicians and other researchers many more options for administering it to patients. So we have a situation where the retail market offers better quality and more choices than the federal government has available, because the federal government uses its own cannabis farm that is in Mississippi to raise all the cannabis that's used for research. So that's the first problem we have, is getting the right product to use for the research that needs to be done.
And especially because right now the medical marijuana that you could get at a medical marijuana dispensary is getting more and more potent, right? Like, they're finding more and more ways to concentrate the THC into vape or edibles or whatever it may be, right? And we have none of that available for research, it sounds like.
Yes, that's one of the problems. The other problem is there's more and more types of mixtures of strains with different properties available in the retail marketplace now, and from commercial growers who are outside of the government. So we're seeing not only an increase in potency of the THC, but a number of other preparations with varying degrees of mixtures between THC and CBD, for example, which are the main cannabinoids that we can think of to be used in medicine. But there are literally hundreds of other cannabinoids and terpenes and flavonoids, other compounds that are part of the plant that also contribute to the way that cannabis works. So the retail market is ahead of the government now in providing different forms, different concentrations, and different mixtures of active ingredients.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when you go into a dispensary right now, it's not like you're getting a specific dosage amount of medical marijuana, right? Like you're prescribed something like you can buy a vape pen or you can buy a gummy bear or something like that. Like in the future, would you like it to be that a patient could come to you and you could prescribe them some specific dosage amount of THC or CBD or one of the other cannabinoids within the drug, like you said, in a way like you prescribe anything else?
Yes, and that's exactly how it's going as it gets legalized in other countries. For example, in Israel, they're prescribing it like other medications.
Right.
The doctor's prescribing the milligram dosage. The drug is being provided at pharmacies, just like other drugs. So you don't have this separate system of dispensaries versus pharmacy. So that's one area. And I think there's a lot of room to improve this whole process all along the way, from the dispensaries to the physician prescribing. Because one of the problems we have in pain medicine is that because cannabis is considered a class one drug, if somebody's using a narcotic, it's a felony for me to knowingly prescribe a class one drug to them. And that makes no sense because cannabis can help the opiates. And we have a big opiate problem in this country with a lot of complications related to opiate use. And we know that when medical cannabis is available and when it's easily available in states, we see a significant drop off in opiate prescriptions, opioid deaths, and opioid complications. So it really would make sense to allow the co-prescribing of these drugs to get the best benefits and to help from the public health perspective.
All right. That's Dr. Fred Davis. He is a pain medicine physician and a member of the group Doctors for Cannabis Regulation and also an associate professor at Michigan State University's College of Human Medicine. Dr. Davis, thank you so much for joining us to talk about this today.
Thank you very much.